In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. As we continue these services, I will read Bible from the Gospel of John in the 12th chapter, verses 37 forward. The words are in Jesus' name. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason, they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. Then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stray in darkness." If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words that I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Amen. Here, it's good for us to be. So, as the service theme says, it says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. This is how we felt when we came onto the service site. I cannot not mention that I have been at this service site. I've been earlier, almost 50 years ago. I went to army here in Kauhava. And from those times, I have good memories, mostly, and especially because here there was dear homes that took us believing soldiers to visit as visitors. There was many homes, and there we could feel the love between believers, people that we did not know from before, but they invited us over to visit. And so you were left with many friends from those years. We were here close by, quite close by, for the past week on our summer holiday, and we went to Alajärvi to services, and there exactly I got to visit these people, and we were remembering back decades back, and we were wondering and admiring this God's kingdom, that this faith unites us all here, and we all need close friends around us on this way of faith. Another thing I wanted to mention here at the start, and to remember, you God's children and believers who have remained in your own hometown. And I know even near where I live, there are groups of elderly people gathering and listening to services together as their life circumstances, health, or age haven't let them come here. I want to send my greetings to you there. Here we have our ordinary summer services. You can feel the summer service spirit here. And there are already many service guests here on site. And our Heavenly Father has given us good service weather. We heard a passage from the Gospel of John, where John where John states that even though Jesus had performed many miracles in front of these people, yet they didn't believe in them or him. Here earlier, it's mentioned about the events leading to Easter. Jesus here in the midst of his disciples wants to support them in what is to come and support them in their work when what he's preparing them and sending him to take the message of gospel forward. That same gospel that Jesus was sent on this earth to, and he came into it on to like to his own, but they didn't accept him. Jesus said there at the shore of Lake Galilee, for those members of God's own nation, that God's kingdom has come close, to turn and repent and to turn and repent. Many of those members of God's people had abandoned their living faith. Many of them wanted to follow these teachings of Judaism, and they thought that through their own good deeds, they would earn the eternal life in heaven. that Jesus' teaching and doctrine was wondered, marveled when Jesus was telling about the forgiveness of sin and the grace. And Jesus spoke that a sinful person, a sinner, can believe their sins forgiven through the grace of God. That forgiveness applies to everyone. There in our text, it refers to the Old Testament text This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" This is the reference to the letter to the Romans, where it says that salvation is for all people. What then is this faith, and where can you find this faith? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The faith in the heart brings righteousness, and confession of the mouth brings salvation. This refers to the confession that we confess that I'm a believer, that even many people didn't want to confess that their faith, even in Jesus' time, even though they believed that Jesus was the Son of God. The scripture says, "Whosoever believes in him will not put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. We have all the same Lord, and his love, he has enough love for all who call upon him for help." And Jesus comes here into the midst of the Jews, and he gave the disciples a mission to go to Jerusalem and then again onto the whole world. And this joyous message of the gospel was meant for all Jews and everybody else, as it here it says Greek, but for everyone else. And everybody has the same God, the same Heavenly Father, who is calling everyone onto repentance and back into God's kingdom. Jesus taught using as a example a sheep. He spoke of a flock of sheep, and he spoke that there is only one shepherd and one flock. There's only one group of people that is scattered here on this earth. And even in the promises of the Old Testament, it promises that one day God will gather his flock of children from this earth, from the east and the west to the north and the south. And we see that during these years, this work is being done. Believing brothers on mission trips meet people who tell them that they've never heard that you can believe your sins forgiven. And they get messages that many have wanted to believe this gospel onto their own part, this joyous message of the gospel, that you can believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And this is how we can rejoice together. That God is still finding these searching souls, seeking souls. For a brother recalled how the Ethiopian eunuch was set out on a long journey to find God. And he was praying. He didn't find peace in that prayer, but God heard that prayer. And God led the believing Philippos to open the door for him. Therein lies a good example of how God provides this opportunity to repent. But how then will they call on the name on him who they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. But not everybody has been receptive to the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now I ask, have they perhaps not even heard it? Surely they have. It's written in the Epistle to the Romans. That faith is revealed and how this message is carried forward. And it was carried there during the time of the early church on Paul's mission trips, but it's also being taken forth these days, and even at these summer services, these services are being translated to many different languages. And the technology has made it possible that through those languages, this message is spread around the globe. And you can listen to these services through the internet and through your phone. And so this message is fulfilled, which was written here. That their words echo everywhere to the ends of the earth. Isaiah says, he has blinded their eyes and he has hardened their heart, so that lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he had seen Jesus and he was meaning Jesus. This passage here is so that one must acknowledge that God is great and man is small. We don't know the thoughts of God or plans. But here's a reference to the Acts when Paul wants to open this joyous message of the gospel there in Rome. And it's written, that from early morning until late night, Paul testified about the kingdom of God and explained it. I was trying to persuade them to believe in him. This Paul that had, through God's grace, had found the kingdom of God. And had been able to move from the scoffers onto the company of God's children. He could believe all his sins forgiven. And he knew those Old Testament texts very. And through faith, later he understood that those promises or speaking directly of Jesus' life. And Paul surely thought that if he explained carefully to his Jewish friends what these teachings of Jesus meant, that the same that even that the same what Moses had already written about in the Old Testament, that his friends too would find faith. Some believed the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. When they didn't agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one message. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to your fathers, saying, "Go to this people and say, in hearing you will hear, but will in no may understand. In seeing you will see, but will no in way perceive. For this people's hearts has grown callous, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and would turn again, and would heal them. Be it known before to you that the salvation of God is sent to the nations, and they will listen, or to the heathen." Here, Paul recalls his own mission trips to the region that is now Turkey, and to Greece, and to the Mediterranean islands. And he saw there that many Gentile nations wanted to believe this gospel and believe their own sins forgiven. And of these very same mission trips, this living faith has continued its journey to the land of our fathers here, and we can be thankful to our Heavenly Father that we can be. a part of this group of God's children. As one such a member, as one member who has believed their own sins forgiven. Jesus himself was sad about this situation. Here it's written in the Gospel of Luke what Jesus was thinking. The situation is such that they are coming to the Passover celebration and they're walking down the hill and they can see the city of Jerusalem. When Jesus come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even though at least in thy day, these things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side. And they shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee one stone upon another, because you knew not the time of thy visitation. So this nation of Israel, people of Israel, rejected this time of visitation. There were many listeners at Jesus' services, but there was many who rejected it. Or rejected the message. God has through all time had a kingdom here, a group of believers. We don't know where it's been at any given time, but it has journeyed here on earth, and the faith has traveled from a believer's heart to another. And Jesus has promised that he will be with his disciples every day until the end of the world. God is triune. There is the Father in heaven. There is his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned the sins of all people. And during this passage that we read, the disciples were able to be there at the feet of Jesus, learning and hearing. Jesus gave them the mission to carry this message forward, this message that our Heavenly Father had given to Jesus to teach. And Jesus spoke to them, to the disciples, about that he would send them the Holy Spirit for their support, and this Holy Spirit will help remind you of what I've taught you. We are this day under the guidance of this Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us on this way to heaven. We can say that many have left this kingdom, even in these times, but that has happened earlier, as we read earlier, when Jesus came to call the members of his own to repentance. Yet it's still a time of repentance and time of grace. And Jesus Christ is searching for the lost sheep. And if he finds it, he picks it up and carries to the sheepfold, to the fellowship of the saints. You, my friend, who feel like you don't own this living faith in your heart, perhaps you lost it during your youth. Today, you're called back. It's the day of the grace. Believe, unbelief, and all sins forgiven. This call still resounds from the kingdom of God. Don't reject it. Don't harden the voice of your conscience, but take this blessing, or receive this blessing. Jesus taught the disciples in his time that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. This is also a guideline or an instruction for us today and to you who don't have faith on your heart, that we would persevere and trust that God's kingdom is here, our home on this earth, and God takes care of us in his kingdom and gives us escorts. And when in this life, and when we feel like the road is rising straight up, that even in those moments we would see and remember that we have in this kingdom friends in faith, and we would come and visit about those matters. And we can share those failures and put these sorrows and sins away, put sin away, and ask for forgiveness. This gospel is a power of grace for each and every one of us believers. Is this matter of faith? Isn't it such a thing that it's worth holding on to? You youth, that we have a lot of here in these services, you in your own life surely experience Many types of temptation from the enemy of souls that would lead you outside of this kingdom of God. And you may question that does it pays to believe? You may question, has God really said this? Or is this teaching of God's kingdom really like this? These are these temptations and enticements of the enemy of the soul. These temptations were already present there for the first couple there in paradise. There have been such whispers of unbelief at every age or every time in this earth. And exactly of this, Paul was reminding the Ephesians in his letter that from your own, among your own people, will raise those who proclaim a contrary message so that they would draw the disciples with them. These dangers were there among the believers in Ephesia. What were these dangers that he warned about that would rise from your own, among their own people? Aren't they those who have lost their own faith? After that, they also have a want to lead other believers astray from the flock of God's children. This type of messages there was 2,000 years ago. But unfortunately, such warnings are relevant even in this our own time. Feels like these messages are very strong, or brought strong here into the toward God's children, and the enemy of soul wants to take your living faith from your heart. And here we have a battle every day that we're not battling against people, but we're battling against the false teachings and the spirit behind it that this enemy of souls has led them. The next Sunday, mercy is the theme. This matter to us, God's children, have a lot to learn that we could We would learn to respond with mercy even to those neighbors who are wanting to bring wrong doctrine into in our midst. We can pray that God would o open those children's hearts or minds and would give a similar mindset that the prodigal son, the younger brother had, the younger brother who was in a foreign land, and he had lost his living faith, but he remembered his dear father and his dear believing home, where there was living bread and the forgiveness of sins. And in that case, also that temporal bread also, which he was suffering of a lack of. So we can find comfort and security on the way of faith in God and in the protection and care of God. Father holds the hand of an obedient child. We're able to gather at services to hear what our Heavenly Father has to tell us. We can, in our homes, tell our and speak to our children about the Good Shepherd and encourage them to go to Sunday school and take them with us to services. As here we see also that there is many of you little children, girls and boys here at services in the hearing of God's word, taking root in this God's kingdom. So that when the bad days come and the enemy of soul attacks, your roots would be deep in this kingdom. And there would be a will and a desire to hold fast onto this faith even in those times. This is, we can say that the power of the gospel, it takes us forward. It is a strength and power for every believer. You, my brother and sister, remain believing your doubts and failures and sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And you also, listener, there on the other end of the line, God hasn't forgotten you. Believe all your doubts and sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. And you, my friend, to whose language these services are being translated, maybe even at a faraway land, you can also, from this sermon, believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. You can go and join this group. This group that in Jesus he was teaching in his own time. And even in this very moment, remain believing all sins forgiven. Believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. I would also like to ask, may I also believe my sins forgiven? And so this is how I want to believe together with this congregation. Don't we have a good kingdom? Let's hold fast onto this faith in Jesus' name. Amen.